It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're now through week 5 in the NFL and still a lot of chatter around the Davante Adams, Antonio Pierce relationship. A lot of chatter around the potential for a trade. I keep hearing mixed reaction, wondering whether or not he's going to be traded quickly. And some people say yes, some people say no. And maybe right now, Antonio Pierce has got a bigger issue, and that's who does he start at quarterback coming up in week number 6, especially after Minshew was benched for Aiden O'Connell, right? So Minshew, he is a known commodity. We know what he is. He has a very specific ceiling. He's steady at times, but he's also risky. And there's a very fine line between that guy, whether it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of perspective, because he does play with kind of this abandon. I wouldn't say wild abandon, but he does play with abandon. He does at times turn into a bit of a, what's the guy, let's see. When there's a term, I haven't used it a really long time on the air, but when, what is it? Brett Favre was, but I would call other quarterbacks a poor man's Brett Favre, because it's obviously Favre was much better at it. What is the word? Don't you hate it when there's a word you can almost see it in your brain, but you can't come up with it. I can't pull it out of my brain right now because it's one I haven't used in quite a long time. But when you're talking about a Gardner Minshew, he's clearly not as good, right? And so I wouldn't say he's a bad quarterback. He continues to make a living and finds new jobs in which he is starting. But this is not, it's still not a situation where you can just be chucking and ducking, and you don't need to go for the home run ball every single time that you have it in your hands. He'll make poor decisions at times. I think also, just the decision to throw the ball sometimes comes before he thinks. So the thinking and the processing and the going through his progressions and all that jazz, at times there's just this knee jerk to chuck the ball without making sure that it's the right play. Now, all of that goes very quickly, of course, for the best quarterbacks. They can see and process and adjust in seconds, which is amazing to watch. But sometimes guys, they act first and then they think. It's more, as I say, a knee-jerk reaction where you're not taking the moment, that nanosecond, to go through and watch that play develop. Again, he can be very good. He can be solid. He can make a lot of throws, but he can also go off the rails pretty quickly. So it's kind of that fine line where he is a help versus a hindrance when it comes to the offense and his style of quarterbacking. What is that word that I'm thinking of? You guys, it's going to drive me crazy. If you know, if you can read my mind right now, at A-Law Radio. He's a
tactician?
What did you say?
A tactician, I'm trying to guess.
Oh, that's a good word. I like that one. But no, it's a guy essentially who like chucks and ducks. Who,
flamethrower.
Yeah, well, that's another way to describe it, but it's not that. It's a term that I used for Brett Favre for years when he was in the NFL, but he was actually really good at it. Yeah, I mean, he can throw the flames, if you will. But no, I used it to describe Philip Rivers a ton too. Now, Philip Rivers is going to end up in the Hall of Fame, like it or not, even without having won a Super Bowl. I don't think he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Gunslinger! Thank you!
That's what I was going to say.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Both David and Darnell getting to me right away. I appreciate you coming to my rescue. I have not used that term in years. I swear it goes back to those days when I was describing Philip Rivers as a poor man's Brett Favre. So, yes, You've got a guy in Gardner Minshew who fancies himself a gunslinger, but it doesn't always work because you shouldn't be throwing first and thinking later. That's not the best way to do it. Corey, thank you. Yes, gunslinger. You guys are awesome for coming to my rescue. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, phew, I feel so much better now. This was going to eat me alive while I was sitting here in studio trying to talk about one thing and conjure up this word from the nether reaches of my spaghetti plate brain. Okay, I feel so much better. Let's stop sweating now. So we'll get to your candidates for TD of the week. And in some cases, yes, being a gunslinger is good. If, oh my gosh, my Twitter just blew up. Being a gunslinger is good if you can manage it, if you can control it, if you can see it first before you throw it, right? Oh my gosh, I'm breathing. We're all breathing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. All right. I mean, I feel like there's no place to go from that. Just kidding. I'm still going, but you all are great. Thank you so much for rescuing me. Gardner Minshew does that. All right. So what about the Raiders and their quarterback situation and whether or not they should move away from the gunslinger until he can think first and then throw the football? Because Antonio Pierce did bench Minshew Can you believe he's called AOC? Not really. He's not really called that. But that's what the media refers to him sometimes as, Aiden O'Connell.
I didn't even say we're going to switch. So we're still evaluating the film from yesterday. I can't go off of ifs. I wish I could, but I'm not going to go hypothetical on that one. Sorry.
He sounds annoyed. Annoyed at best. Just flat out cranky at worst. I do think Antonio Pierce is a good coach. It's maybe too soon to start freaking out about what's happening with the Raiders, because think about where they've been over the last few years and the fact that a lot of what's happening with the Raiders can be a direct, you can make a direct correlation. It can be a direct result of the fact that it's been change, nonstop change. It's been a revolving door for them at some of the critical positions, quarterback being a really key position that they've had no stability at. And I can go back and we can talk about this. I did with Davante Adams, just the fact that he's had so many different guys throw him the football. Now, I think with Davante, there's more to the story. Not loving the way that the team treated his best friend in Derek Carr, benching him at the end of the Josh McDaniels era. We know what McDaniels is about. He's about cleaning guys out that don't agree with him or don't fit, or, gosh, guys who challenge his ego. That's what happened in Denver. I don't think that's Derek Carr, but I think there was a lot of frustration there and maybe a couple of different systems that were butting heads, and this wasn't the guy that Josh McDaniels picked. But to think about post-Derek Carr, who has been throwing the ball to Davante Adams? So they treat his best friend like crap. That was a Bush League move. And then after that, they go from Derek Carr to Jared Stidham to Aiden O'Connell. Well, to Jimmy Garoppolo. They draft Aiden O'Connell. He starts as a rookie. They also have Brian Hoyer out there for a game. And now Gardner Minshew, only to then put in Aiden O'Connell when Minshew gets benched. Davante Adams is not playing right now, and there's no status update. In fact, it's status quo, according to Antonio Pierce, meaning he's still dealing with a hamstring injury. Wink, wink, nod, nod. I can imagine he gets healthy pretty quickly, should there be a team out there that trades for him. And so with the coaching changes, the coordinator changes, the quarterback changes, you've got now different guys around him on the field, around the quarterback on the field, right? So the number of changes that the team has had makes it really hard to find any stability or to establish a winning culture. I know it sounds hokey in some cases, but trust me when I say constant change equals constant losing in sports. Sure, they've got a couple holdovers, like, say, Jacoby Myers. That's a guy that came in with Josh McDaniels because of their New England ties. But pretty much everything else has changed. Josh Jacobs is gone to Green Bay, right? Davante Adams isn't playing. Trey Tucker is new for them, or taking on a different role. it's just a tough place right now in a tough space to start to build on a foundation when the foundation is quicksand. Or, here's another great word picture. Not word salad, mind you, but word picture. An escalator. The floor is constantly moving under these guys. How can you build anything on an escalator? Or, oh my gosh, how about in the O'Hare Airport? Walk-a-laters. Those things are scary, actually. Also, there's etiquette to them. Did you know you're supposed to move over when people are trying to get past you? So how about that? Trying to build any type of a foundation on what is constantly moving beneath your feet. Walk-a-laters, maybe they have a more technical name. That's what I call them. Escalators. It's frustrating. And you can understand why this start is frustrating.
I think moving walk is what...
A moving walk?
Yeah, that's the only term I've heard with that. Walk-a-later is better.
That's boring. Yeah, walk-a-later is better. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So we may have a change at quarterback for both the Raiders and the Saints, depending on what's happened with the oblique. So again, back to my question that I posed last hour, and it's hypothetical because we don't know. If the Saints were interested in bringing in Devontae Adams, but now Derek Carr is injured, are the Saints willing to give up what the Raiders are looking for? Or maybe Devontae not as interested in going there. I sincerely hope with all of my heart that this is not a long-term injury for Derek Carr, because that would stink. But man, the rise and fall from week to week of the storylines in the NFL, and also the rise and fall in momentum for different teams, for lack of a better word, momentum. I'm not going to get stuck now being unable to regurgitate the word that was, it was just out of reach. Don't you hate that? Don't you absolutely hate that when you can all but taste the word and it's just out of reach in your brain? Our brains are funky things. They're funky. I don't know if they're organs. Our brains are funky organisms. Just sometimes you put it somewhere in your brain. You compartmentalize it. You haven't used it in a while and then you just can't remember it. Just, oh, so frustrating.
When you have that with songs, that's even worse, I think.
As a radio host, songs, that also can be frustrating. I know it. It's on the tip of my tongue.
You're humming it. No one gets your humming. That's happened to me many times.
Oh, gosh. That may be because of your humming.
Right.
But just as a quick example of what I'm talking about, where teams are rising and or falling, how about the Bills and the Steelers? Started out 3-0. They've now both lost back-to-back games. The opposite for the Ravens. They lost their first two, and now they've won three in a row, and they're playing extremely well. I don't know that anybody had really high hopes for the Patriots, even though they beat the Bengals in week one at Cincinnati, actually. Man, imagine how the Bengals feel about that one now. But the Pats have lost four straight now. And as much as Jacoby Brissett is a veteran, he's smart. He obviously can make some plays. I mean, he'll throw the ball, and every now and then, if you give him some space to run, he will. He's not a running quarterback, but he's heads up, though. He sees the field. It's just he's limited, like we were talking about with Gardner Minshew. You know what Jacoby Brissett is all about. But behind that offensive line, it's a lot worse for a quarterback who's not a running QB. So do they want to throw Drake May into that situation? I hope not, for the Patriots' sake and also for Drake May's sake. The Jaguars, brutal start for them. Now they've won a game in division. Can this possibly turn things around? And also seeing how much better Trevor Lawrence played on Sunday. The Broncos, they started out 0-2. And even though there are still a ton of points that are on the field, left on the field, a lot of empty possessions for them against the Raiders, they've now won three in a row. I mean, think about the Commanders. They've rattled off four wins in a row, and most of them in convincing fashion. The Cowboys maybe have righted the ship now. When they had that huge victory on the road in Cleveland, though, in retrospect, not that this is college football where we're rating your wins or ranking you based on quality wins, but that appeared to be a huge statement for them out of the gate. Right after Dak Prescott gets his contract, of course, CeeDee Lamb, he rejoined the team not long before that. But then they drop back-to-back games, and it's rough. So now they've won two in a row. I think for the Green Bay Packers, their momentum looks a whole lot different now. After losing Jordan Love just a couple of games, getting both wins with Malik Willis as the starting QB. I mean, they're still working out kinks as well, but they have to feel good. Chicago Bears, too. Best game of the year for Caleb Williams. And we know he's got all the tools, but as a rookie, it's all flying at you so fast. And for him, he's putting in the work. He's handling the job like a pro. We've heard that from guys behind the scenes. Well, now they've got a win with some big numbers for him. And his tight end, Cole Kmet, was on Sirius XM NFL Radio talking about the rookie.
You know, I see him in practice every day. So he's been getting better and better. And the more that he's played, the more he's continued to figure this out and understand how to play quarterback position in the NFL. It's a lot different than being in college. And he's been doing a great job in terms of managing the game, but also, you know, making those plays when he has to. And it's been a lot of fun to see him grow so far. And, you know, he knows that he has a long ways to go here with the season that we got. But I'm sure he's definitely excited about where he's at. And I know we're excited about where we're at as a team.
So the Bears feels like things are looking up for them. Their defense has been terrific, has helped to keep them in games. Now they're above 500. So after thinking to start the season that maybe the AFC North would again be the toughest division in football, it's actually shifted. And right now it's the NFC North. A couple of other teams where I feel like momentum may be changing a bit. The Falcons have won two games in a row, including the big one against the Saints last week. And then you look at the Saints. We just talked about them. They've dropped three straight after starting out 2-0 like a house on fire. Also, the Seahawks, same thing. So you've got multiple teams, actually. Let's see. We talk Steelers, we talk Bills, Seahawks. All start out 3-0 and have now dropped back-to-back games. So can they quickly right the ship? I mean, there's so many questions still through 5 weeks, and then injuries start to complicate things. Thank you for the number of responses I've gotten with the word gunslinger. It may soon be trending on Twix. At A-Law Radio, you guys are the best, even when I'm having a massive brain fart. Also on our Facebook page, coming up next, your candidates for TD of the week as we usher in a touchdown Tuesday. Let's get it. I was going to toss to our update, but that's not where we are right now. I'm all a mess. Gunslinger. It was really that easy. It threw me off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown.
Takes it himself to the pylon.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown.
Made a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown.
Southern's helping into the end zone. Touchdown.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Baltimore Ravens.
Second and goal. Ball just outside the Bengals 6. Justice Hill in the backfield. Lamar in the shotgun. Lamar bobbles the snap, has to pick it up off the turf. He's being chased, corralled, stiff arms a man, Sam Hubbard, and finally slings in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Isaiah Likely. Oh, my. Unbelievable. Lamar Jackson bobbled the snap, picked it up off the turf, stiff arms Sam Hubbard, a la Derrick Henry, extended the play, threw back across his body, and hit the tight end. In other words, he did everything wrong for the perfect outcome.
The Denver Broncos.
Gain of 8, first down to goal, Raiders at the Denver 5. Minshew under center. Minshew with a play fake, rolling to his left. Now floats one too high. It's going to be intercepted at the goal line. Down the west sideline, intercepted. This is past Surtain. Surtain's going to house call it. 25-20, 15-10, 5, touchdown.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Four-man front for the Colts. Trevor drops and looks. Fires deep downfield. Got a man. It's Brian Thomas Jr. 50 in the Colts territory. 35, 30, 25, 10,
What a touchdown! Brian Thomas Jr. just went 85 yards. How good is that? And the Jags have taken the lead.
The Dallas Cowboys.
For the ball game, fourth and goal. Prescott in the gun, snap is back. He has some time. He throws it in the end zone. It's a touchdown to Jalen Tolbert on the left side of the end zone, crossing in front of Deshaun Elliott with 20 seconds to play. Goodness gracious me.
Those are some great candidates, and we actually have others as well that we had to eliminate because per the rules on Twix, we can only put four in a poll. I feel as though we should expand it the way we expanded the college football playoff. There should be polls that feature many more options. What is the after hours TD of the week in the wake of week five? Are you kidding me? Jerry Sandusky with the call of Lamar dropping a football, somehow finding some space in the backfield, stiff-arming a couple of defenders, and then, boom, firing a shot to Isaiah Likely in the back of the end zone. And that ended a string of six consecutive touchdowns between the Bengals and the Ravens in the second half of their game that ultimately went into overtime. And, boy, that was a wild ride as well. So the Ravens have great momentum right now and are tied with the Steelers atop the AFC North. The Denver Broncos, we talked about them. They also have a winning record. And Patrick Surtain, for a while in the offseason, the highest paid cornerback in the NFL. Now he's got the two interceptions in one game against the hated Raiders to his credit. One of them, a 100-yard return for a touchdown. That coming against Gardner Minshew on Sunday. Dave Logan with the call on Broncos radio. Happy birthday to Trevor Lawrence. He's only 25. Happy 25th birthday to Trevor Lawrence. I feel like he's been around forever since we were talking about him going back to his freshman year at Clemson. 85-yard chuck to Brian Thomas downfield that, to me, seemed to spark the offense and maybe signal a change for the Jaguars because the first month was such a struggle. The call with Frank Frangie on Jaguars radio. And finally, Brad Sham on Cowboys radio. It was a moment that happened just before midnight Dallas time, but they were in Pittsburgh, so just before 1 a.m. Pittsburgh time, following a lengthy rain delay, Sunday night football. It had been a brutal game for Dak Prescott and the offense, especially in the red zone. But the Cowboys able to get that game-winning touchdown on fourth down with 20 seconds to go after they nearly fumbled again on, I think it was second down, a handoff to Rico Dowdle that was fumbled that Dak Prescott fell on. So those are your options for TD of the week. One of them's a game winner, others in critical situations, so a lot of fun. And I dare say you might hear the Patrick Surtain coming back next hour. You can vote online at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. I'll get that poll up very soon. And this portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. We had talked about this a little bit. Want to put it in here just because I hate to leave you guys hanging. After the doubleheader in the American League, in which both the Royals and the Tigers are able to even up their division series, good stuff now seen shifting to Comerica Park in Detroit and Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, but not until Wednesday. So the American League, weirdly enough, gets Sunday off and then again Tuesday off, and that's so they can straddle the AL and the NL games. But with that happening, there's a breather now, and I know there's a lot of Cleveland fans who are holding their breath, believing that this Guardians team can power through against an AL Central rival, but I've also heard a bunch of Guardians fans either, now I think it's kind of a dichotomy among fans, at least that's been my experience on social, either thrilled that Terry Francona has popped up in a new part of Ohio, completely different part, or are not, wishing that Terry Francona was still around. And he had indicated that he probably wouldn't find himself in a baseball dugout again. He's had health issues for years, and it was really important for him to take care of himself so that he could extend his life. And maybe baseball, at least 2 years ago when he stepped away, was not helping him get healthy, stay healthy, take better care of himself. And so he did step away, but now he's back as the manager of the Cincinnati Reds.
I didn't think about managing a whole lot this year. And then when the Reds reached out, I started looking at the team a little more closely. And they came out to visit, and it just felt right. And it felt right kind of pretty close to the beginning of the meeting.
It just felt right. Now, see, that's Terry Francona. He's old school. And he'll do a lot based on instinct, based on his knowledge of players, knowledge of the situation, certainly his experience. So the Reds were able to lure him out of retirement. They signed him last Friday to a 3-year deal. There is also a club option, so potentially could be 4 seasons. Now he's 65. He's 65. But if he's in good health and he's taking care of himself, then there should be no reason why he can't do this job. I do know that he's mellowed out some, not completely, but he's mellowed out some as he's gotten older, because I remember his days going back to when he played with the Phillies, and of course, he's from a baseball family, his dad, Tito, and then also when he was with the Red Sox, and not a whole lot mellow then, and at least some of the habits that I witnessed with him personally wasn't always taking the best care of himself. And he did step down from the Guardians after the 23 season, and said it was because of his health. And so I believing that he's taking care of himself over the last year plus.
I honestly didn't see myself managing again. I had a really good year away from the game. I needed to step away. I didn't step away because I didn't love the game. I stepped away because I didn't think I was doing the job up to the caliber I thought was necessary. Part of it's health, and a lot of it was health, and it was getting in the way.
I'm so glad he's back. I love Terry. I'm a Terry Francona apologist, and I know for David Bell there were high hopes there. He was there for 6 seasons, and just the one playoff appearance is really kind of what did him in, and that was during the 2020 campaign. They were swept out pretty quickly by the Atlanta Braves. Now, Francona has 2 World Series championships to his credit. He also took Cleveland in 2016. This has got to be one of my favorite World Series of all time. You want to talk about fall classic. Phenomenal. 7 games between the Indians at the time and the Cubs. And if you remember, the Indians were leading that series and were leading it, 3-1, I believe. And the Cubs came back. Not only did they come back, but they had to rally in Game 7 and wait through a rain delay before they went into extra innings. It was some kind of a tense and epic series. And so he's got a ton of wisdom and experience. He also played with the Reds for a little bit. And he was talking about that group in 1987. He actually said they remind him of the team that he has now with the Reds. Calls them talented and athletic. I mean, Ellie De La Cruz, he is the centerpiece right now, speaking of talented and athletic. At A-Law Radio is where you can vote for our TD of the week. We have to reveal Monday MVP coming up because it may have been our tightest vote ever. I can't go back and confirm, I guess, pinpoint and confirm without knowing for sure, because I'm just not going to. But it was 0.3% that separated our top 2 candidates, and you all ultimately made the choice. And then we'll get back to Monday Night Football at the top of the hour. Also, if you missed my conversation with Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, we asked her some pointed questions about an offense that right now ranks last in the league in total yards. But in addition to that, people are pointing to and saying, I mean, this is Dan Orlovsky, who we love on the show. A lot of you are big fans of Dan. He watches tape tirelessly, played for more than a decade in the league. He calls the Brown situation the worst in sports. mean, that's saying something. So it was really interesting to hear what Mary Kay had to say based on her time in the building and her time covering the team. And all of our interviews are podcasted separately, so you can always find it with, I would say, an evergreen link is probably the best way to do it, but you can always find it wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, Kareem Hunt able to make his presence felt in his return to Kansas City.
Mahomes in the gun. There's the snap. The handoff going to Hunt over the guard. The five on the hash mark. He goes in for a Kansas City touchdown. A run of 5 yards for the former Chief, and back with Kansas City, Kareem Hunt takes it in.
Hunt ran for 102 yards in that score as the Chiefs dismissed the Saints 26-13. Kevin Harlan to call Westwood one. Patrick Mahomes threw for 331. Juju Smith-Schuster, 7 catches, 130 yards. Travis Kelce holding 9 passes for 70 yards. The Chiefs are now 5-0, while the Saints' losing streak is 3. They fell to 2-3, and Derek Carr left this one with an oblique injury. MRI to come. Raiders said to still be evaluating their quarterback situation as Aiden O'Connell came on for an ineffective Gardner Minshew for the second time this season. As for the Devontae Adams situation, when did that all go south for head coach Antonio Pierce?
I don't know. I think I got to ask Devontae that.
What is the latest, though, with that situation?
The status quo.
Elsewhere, Patriots safety Jabril Peppers pleaded not guilty after he was arrested for assault and battery, strangulation, and drug possession believed to be cocaine. Browns have really struggled out of the gates, 1-4, with plenty calling for the benching of Deshaun Watson, but head coach Kevin Stefanski remaining steadfast on Watson being his guy.
We need everybody to do their job and do their job better. And I look at myself and how I can do that. But I believe in Deshaun. I believe in what he brings to this offense.
Checking the baseball playoffs, where we had a scoreless game into the ninth, and the Tigers finally able to break through.
2-2, Sweeney takes off. Fly ball right field. This one's deep. Going back is Brennan. He's looking up, and it's gone! Oh, man! Kerry Carpenter with 2 outs in the ninth. A 3-run bomb, and the Tigers take the lead 3-0.
Kerry Carpenter, a 3-run shot off Emmanuel Clase as the Tigers blank the Guardians 3-0. Call courtesy of the Tigers radio network. Tarek Skubal allowed 3 hits over 7 scoreless 8 Ks as the series is even at 1. When the Royals erased the Yankees 4-2, Salvador Perez went deep. Kansas City scored all 4 in the 4th to even the series at 1. I'm Marco Belletti.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network. Now it's time to name the After Hours Monday MVP. I need a hero.
Snap to Murray, and he's going to keep it running to the right. He's got room at the 45-40. He points to the sky as he takes off at the 30, at the 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown. A design run for Kyler Murray. It goes for 50 yards. He's barking at the crowd in the end zone.
Kyler Murray under center. Higgins in front of Connor in an I formation. Now they shift. And in the shotgun is Murray on first and goal. Snap to Murray. It's a quarterback run to the left. Now he backs up and throws left side back of the end zone. Higgins got both feet down, made the catch. It's a touchdown.
To be able to flush last week and come in here against a divisional opponent and get a W on the road, just to be able to go home with a win, man. I think it does wonders for us.
The voice of one Kyler Murray, quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, who started off that game in the Bay Area with a bang, able to silence that crowd a little bit, or at least punch him in the proverbial mouth. Now, his stats aren't overwhelming. He ends up with about 200 yards passing, had the touchdown that you heard to Elijah Higgins, which was late in the game. That was the capper for a 12-play, 6.5-minute possession. A big deal as they're trying to win on the road. They also get the 2-point conversion from James Conner. And so he's engineering this late scoring drive and allowing the Cardinals defense to do the rest. But the 200 yards passing include the touchdown. He also has 83 yards rushing, the majority of them coming on that 50-yard scamper to begin the game. So an interception in there, but a couple of touchdowns. And I think this, a signature moment under Jonathan Gannon, considering the fact that the Niners have owned the NFC West under Kyle Shanahan, and that Gannon spent most of his first year without Kyler Murray, and now they're trying to work new people in. James Conner providing great stability, but the fact that they, you know, try to get used to Marvin Harrison Jr., this is one that could propel them forward. And I like the fact that they still have much bigger dreams than just beating the Niners, right? They believe that this is a wide open division right now, which makes sense. And this is coming off of an embarrassing, I would say humiliating loss in the desert to Washington and their former offense, well, their former coach, now offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. So there's a lot there that they wanted to make up for. This is the San Francisco 49ers that are vulnerable right now. Why? Well, because they're missing Christian McCaffrey, although Jordan Mason's been good for the most part. They're missing different pieces. Offensively, they've gotten some of those guys back. I want to be careful because I know they've had guys go in and out of the lineup. And really, you don't need the play-by-play me on who's gone in and out of the lineup. But they were playing without George Kittle for a bit. Debo Samuel has been on and off, and honestly, they didn't use him a ton on Sunday. So they were heavy with Brandon Ayuk and able to work in more of George Kittle. But we've seen a Brock Purdy that's under duress at times, and also at times is maybe off a little bit. And, we talked about this with Josh Allen, too, this weekend, a game that's very uncharacteristic of Josh Allen. And Purdy and Allen both typically accurate and can also make plays with their feet when they need to. But it's still early in the season, and guys are trying to find that rhythm. And by guys, I mean the entire offense is trying to find that rhythm. Speaking of rhythm, this is such a funny pivot, but I don't want to forget it. I saw this over the weekend and didn't have a chance to talk about it on our last show. And I don't know if there's maybe a GIF out there or a video, Producer Pete, that you can put up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. But did you all see the video of Greg Zuerlein in with the cheerleaders as he's warming up? This is in London, obviously. He's warming up pregame, and all of a sudden there are Vikings cheerleaders all around him. So he continues to kick. He continues to warm up and even taking field goal kicks while he's in the middle of two cheerleader lineups. It's pretty funny. So, okay, let's see. I see. Okay, here's one where you can retweet Producer Pete at NFL UKIRE. So this is the NFL's account for the United Kingdom and Ireland. So it's all caps at NFL UKIRE. Eukery. It's like Valkyrie. Wasn't that a movie? Was that Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise? Valkyrie. That was Tom Cruise, wasn't it?
Shoot. Yeah, I don't think it was Tom Hanks.
No, I corrected myself. Thanks. It was either Tom Cruise or Brad Pitt. Now I got to Google it. It's not a movie that I think was really popular. Or at least I didn't like it. Valkyrie. I do like Vanilla Sky, though. A lot of people didn't like Tom Cruise and Vanilla Sky. Valkyrie. Yep, it was definitely Tom Cruise. Always go with your first answer. He had a patch over his eye the whole time, if you guys remember. Anyway, it's UKIRE. And if you see the video, poor Greg Zuerlein, he's just doing his thing. He's out there on the field. And as the cheerleaders are going through their routine, whatever it is, pregame, they're going through the routine, it requires them to move across the field. So as they move across the field, they pass him. And then, the first line of cheerleaders passes him. And then they surround him. Have you found it?
I found it on other sites. Yeah, I'm putting it up.
Oh, okay. Well, this is the official NFL site. NFL at NFL UKIRE, meaning the United Kingdom and Ireland. Oh, gosh. It reminded me of just some of the gamesmanship we've seen with kickers, even going back to Justin Tucker and the Chiefs last year during the playoffs when Tucker's out there trying to warm up right in the flight path for Patrick Mahomes as he's warming up. And we're going to say strategically places his kicking tee right about the spot where Mahomes would be dropping back. And so Mahomes first asks him to move the kicking tee. And when he doesn't, he kind of gets this smirk on his face. When he doesn't, do you guys remember this? Mahomes picks it up and moves it for him. And then Tucker puts it back. So this time, When Travis Kelce ventures upon the scene, he picks it up and shucks it. So all Tucker can do is smirk. And then he tells some story about how that's how he's been warming up his entire career. And Kelce blows that to smithereens on the New Heights podcast. Well, now you've got Greg Zuerlein. Shoot, I wonder if there was any post-game reaction. I know the Jets didn't win, so maybe there wasn't as much room for mirth after their game against the Vikings. But gosh, it was really funny to see. And he just calmly continues to warm up right in the middle of two lines of cheerleaders. Now, I guess there's a benefit if you can take and make a field goal with the pressure of not just an international audience, though obviously a lot of Jets and Vikings fans made the trip, but pom-poms waving all around you. If you can calmly line up your kick and you can continue to go through your process and your warm-ups, even as he just stands there, he doesn't move. You guys have got to check it out. Again, it's at Amy After Hours. So as they're going through their dance routine and waving pom-poms all over the case, he takes all over the place. He calmly takes his couple of steps and goes right into his warm-up kick. It's amazing. I don't remember what it is that made me think of that, but I didn't want to miss it because I had thought about it on Sunday night into Monday, and we just didn't have time for it with everything else that was going on. Gosh, that was crazy. So here it is, a Monday night for those of you who are still awake. I guess technically it's Tuesday for all but Hawaii. And Tuesday morning, Touchdown Tuesday, you can vote at Amy After Hours. People are already mad because we don't have the touchdowns that they want, but that's how it works this early in the season. So coming up, we'll get to Monday Night Football. The Chiefs move to 5-0. Also, we'll talk about the two American League Division Series. But this is a little bit of a nerd alert. That'll wake you up on a Tuesday morning. I know. You're welcome. All four Division Series are sitting at 1-1 for the first time in 30 years since 1995 postseason. We have not seen all of the series tied at one since 1995 in this divisional round, which is tremendous. And yeah, the schedule's a little wonky, at least initially, for the American League, but then they will settle in. Pretty excited about what's to come. Let's go, Game 7s. Let's do this thing. Game 5s, Game 7s, come on. I need a little something-something after last year gave us none of that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.